am I in war with and why? How do I prepare for the battle? What kinds of weapons do I use? Who is my commander in chief? And I'll give you just a couple more. What causes me to be wounded in battle? What causes me to lose the battle altogether? And then what happens if I win the battle? You can write it here if you like. What happens if I win the battle? Now, I'm going to talk just a little bit about, and the Lord gave this to me earlier this morning around 5-ish, about your relationship with the Lord. Because you can't fight, I can't fight and win the battle without being in relationship with the Lord.
So true.
You know, it's so much more than I bind you in the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. It's so much more than that. It's bigger than that. It's bigger than the blood of Jesus. Just saying it. It's bigger than I renounce you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. It's bigger than all of that. The most important thing is a relationship with your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Without a relationship, those are just words. Mm-hmm. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
You can bind and loose all day long. But if you're living a life of fornication, if you're in adultery, if you're doing anything where you are not in relationship with God, then that's all null and void. Doesn't mean anything. So you ask yourself, well, what is a relationship? And how do I even know that I'm in relationship? You know, I remember a time many, many years, many, 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 many moons ago, when you would go to the church and they would ask three things. Number one, they would make the invitation to salvation. And then they would say the doors of the church is open. And then they would say, is there anyone here that wants to rededicate their lives to the Lord? Mm-hmm. So a lot of times we're doing spiritual warfare. The first question you need to ask yourself is that, can I do this? Am I in relationship with the Lord? Satan is after me. He's all in my house. He's everywhere, all around me. But can I fight him? Where I am? Can I fight him from this place where I am right now? Am I in relationship with him? Do I need to stop and drop these weapons that I have and get back to relationship with him? See, you can always stop. I want you to remember that today. You can always stop. You can always say, I can't, Lord, I can't fight this. I'm not equipped to fight it. I'm not prepared to fight it. And today, I want you to be totally honest with yourself. Yes. Because all you're doing is fighting as one that beats against the air. You're just using some words. I plead the blood. But ask yourself today, Lord, am I in relationship with you? Do I relate to you? Mm-hmm. Everything, see, when you're in relationship with the Lord, everything that you do relates right back to him. And earlier this morning, the Holy Spirit brought this back to me, that you must have a relationship. You must relate yourself to him. You must relate everything back to him. Now, how do I relate to him? How many of you are in a relationship other than the Lord? How many of you are in a relationship? You see, raise your hand up high, please. How many of you have been in a relationship? Now, in that relationship that you're in right now, that means that you must relate to that person. And everything, if I care about that person, everything that I do has to do with that person. So how do I relate to the Lord? I relate to him in spirit and in truth. Now, that's hard. I relate to him in spirit and in truth. By faith. See, I can't relate to him in spirit and in truth unless I do it by faith. Because number one, have you ever seen him? Did you see him when he died? Were you there when he rose? So in order to have a relationship with him, you must be someone that can do it by way of the Spirit. But doing it by way of the Spirit must be a reality for you.
Yeah.
See, I think that's one of the things that pastors and preachers and teachers and all these, we forget that. We forget that that's a hard thing for you. You want to do that. But you say, but I can't see him. Now, you can relate to me. You can relate to me because when I walked in that door, you said, you waved to me, you saw me, I touched some of your hands. So you can relate to me. And you don't have to relate to me by faith. But with the Lord, you have to relate to him by what?
Faith.
By faith. So is that easy or is that hard? Let me see the hand that says it's hard. Oh, wow, you guys are great. Now you got to tell the truth in the house of God now.
It is.
So that's the only way I can help you.
It's hard.
It's hard. You know, and particularly if you're a babe in the Lord.
Yeah.
And we tell you all the time, do it by faith. Relate to him, but I've never seen him. You know, I want to trust him, but I've never seen him. How many of you have heard his voice? Tell the truth in the house. You've heard his voice. Let me see your hands up high, up high. You've heard his voice. What does his voice sound like? When you heard it, what did it sound like? See, I got a true serum up here. I'm going to give it to you if you don't tell the truth. What did it sound like? Sound like his words give you a sense of peace. So that means that you relate to him by faith. Mm-hmm. So that was an actuality. That was a reality. You were really able to relate to him by faith. Go, Pastor, I'm going to give you my phone so you can turn it off for me in that purple bag right there. So, I must relate to him in spirit and in truth by faith. The hard part is trying to identify with an unseen person. Apostle Stacy, that's the hard part in getting people to say, yes, I'm in relationship with this unseen person. Yeah. I can't see him. So if I cannot relate to him, this unseen person, how do I expect him to help me to do warfare? Because I'm saying, where are you? What are you going to do? You say you're going to give me instructions, so how do you do that? So my first thing today is to get you to realize that you must believe by faith that he really did die for you. That he really did, first of all, that he really did come to planet Earth. That he was a real person, and that he really did walk the earth doing ministry, healing, and doing all those things. That I wasn't there to see it, but by faith, mm-hmm. I do believe that that was a reality. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That I believe. I wasn't there when they put him on the cross. I just read about it. I heard about it. But by my faith, I believe it. I believe that though I don't see people die and arisen up from the grave. I don't see that. But I was told in his word that he did that.
Yeah.
That he really did actually get up. And I was told that he got up with a certain amount of power in his hand.
Power, yes.
I was told that he left behind, that he loved me so much that he didn't leave me powerless.
Yes.
But the same power that he got up, because yes. He could have stayed there and rested.
Yes.
But
yes.
He didn't. That he had a love for me. I don't know about him, but he had enough love for me to say, I'm not going to leave you down here by yourself. The same power that I got up with, I'm going to leave it with you. I'm going to leave that same power. I'm going to leave that same authority. So now, he's saying that, first of all, in order for me to help you to do warfare, in order for you to do warfare effectively, and I'm going to say it, I'm a repeater. In order for you to fight and win the war, you must believe that. That has to be your reality today. In order for you to fight and win the war, that has to be your reality first and foremost. Before you say the blood of Jesus, before you bind and loose, that has to be your reality. I don't know any of that for a fact, but by faith. Yeah. So now, because the Holy Spirit said to me this morning, don't talk about the binding and loosing the weapons yet. Find out if they are in relationship with me first. Because without me, you lose that battle.
Yes.
Any questions so far? Any questions so far? One of the things that will help us to know him better, to have a bigger, better, more successful relationship with him, is to get to know him. He left behind a manual. He said the only way you're going to know how to fight warfare and win, you got to read the manual. How many of you got a cell phone? Let me see the hands. Cell phones. How many of you got the biggest, bestest, most modern cell phone, the most updated cell phone? Let me see hands. Do you know everything about your cell phone?
No, indeed.
There are so many things in that cell phone, but you would never know the full benefits of that expensive little gadget until you read the manual. So in order to know all those things, that means you got to take time. I got to take some time. I got to set a day aside. And I got to say, Lord, I need you to anoint me afresh.
Yes.
I need you to give me wisdom. I need you to reveal to me what I'm reading here in this manual. Because you have given me this gadget here. And there's a lot of good information, I'm told, that's in this gadget. That's the same thing with this manual right here. You're not going to ever, ever, ever be effective in warfare without reading this manual. You got to read it. Everything that pertains to life, your marriage, is in here. The raising of your children is in here. Being a grandparent to your children is in here. How to handle money is in here. How to handle love is in here. All about sex is in everything that pertains to this world, this life, is in this manual. How to fight warfare and win. You notice that when I say fight spiritual warfare, I say and win. Because you can be wounded in battle.
That's right.
How many of you ever been in a warfare with the devil and got wounded? You didn't win that battle,
That's right.
You got wounded in battle. Uh-huh. So knowing this manual keeps you from being wounded. You know, and talk about being wounded, I'm reminded of the seven sons of Sceva. Sceva was a priest. He had seven boys. And these seven boys, you know how we like to be demon chasers? We think that if we see somebody looking kind of crazy, you ready to lay hands on them and exercise that demon? Well, these seven sons were no different. They were glad they had a demon in town. Mm-hmm. So those boys decided, we're going to go there and exercise and cast that demon out of them. Well, they went over and messed with that demon. And the Bible says that the demon beat them bad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ran them out of town, whooped them till they were naked. Because they did not know the manual. They didn't know the process. They were trying to do something that they didn't know anything about.
My Lord.
So when you don't know this manual here, and you have not read this manual about spiritual warfare, what to do and what not to do, you will get beaten badly. Amen? Now, moving on. So you are in a relationship with the Lord, and in that relationship, the Bible says, if you love me, and if you do that, I will help you in battle. I'm going to just pray just real quickly because I wanted to put this out here in the spirit realm. Most holy and all-wise God, Father God, I do thank you and I do bless you for what you are doing here on today. I thank you for giving the apostle this vision to have this conference. Father God, I ask right now that you will anoint me afresh with fresh oil.
Yeah.
The oil that you poured on me as I travel can't be for this day right here, this time right here, this space right here. So God, anoint me afresh and cause this oil that you are anointing me with right now to run down on each and every person that's sitting before my face, that's under the sound of my voice, that's in my presence. Anoint me, oh God, with that fresh oil.
Yes,
and then keep this oil, that same oil, in here upon these people so that it will run over, spill over into Pastor Tripplin's class. Do it, oh God, for your glory.
Yes.
Anoint each and every one of your people. Open their eyes, oh God, to see.
Yes, God.
Oh, anoint their ears, oh God, to hear. God, anoint our hands.
Yes.
God, do all for your glory in this house.
Yes. Lord.
In this conference. And we thank you, oh God, again for Apostle Walker for what he has done. In Jesus' name,
Amen.
Spiritual things. I was thinking about this last week. Spiritual things, spiritual sayings, spiritual principles, and spiritual processes used to be big to us. But spiritual things have now lost its importance.
My Lord.
If someone had said to you that there was a spiritual conference going on years ago, we would have been so excited. We would have been preparing months ahead. But those things have lost its bigness. The laying on of hands, casting out devils, renouncing the devil. Years ago, those were big things. They held an importance. But today, what has happened, we use those terms so lightly and so loosely now that it has no meaning. We say the name Jesus for everything. You can break a fingernail. Jesus. Oh my God. The name of Jesus is a power tool.
Yeah.
One of the power tools to fight Satan is the name of Jesus.
The name of Jesus.
So how dare you use it so loosely because one of your braids fell out.
Yes, my Lord.
You know, I want you to really hear these things today. Mm-hmm. So the very next time you use that name, oh my God, ask yourself, Lord, are you going to beat me down today? Are you going to whip me for playing with your name? Because before the day is over, you're going to really need the power that's in that name. Now, hold on a second. I'm going to come back to you. You said Jesus, so tell me what you meant by it. Yes,
in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
that's why we're here.
Yes,
in the name of Jesus. That's why
mm-hmm.
the power.
That's right. That's right. We joke about it. We play with it. Mm-hmm. We play with it. And sometimes, you know, I've heard in the last couple of months, I've heard somebody playing with laying on their hands. Wow. I'm gonna lay hands on you. And in fact, I heard somebody say, my dog was so unruly, I had to get up and lay hands on my dog. What do you think the Lord felt about that? That you're gonna take a power tool. A holy, a sacred power tool. Something as powerful, your defense mechanism. Something as powerful and holy as that, and you're going to use that for a dog who don't even have no soul? Who's not even going to heaven when he dies?
My Lord.
You're going to use that on a dog? I had to lay hands on my dog. So when you got to lay hands on your own belly, how effective would that be for you? You can't do it. You cannot do it. So we got to stop playing with those two. You cry wolf long enough, and who's going to listen? If I say, you better stop that, I'm going to lay hands on you. And tell you little two-year-old, come on over here, I'm going to lay hands on you, what a spanking will do.
Yeah.
Don't waste a good laying on of hands on a two-year-old, what a punishment or a spanking will do. So that's what's hurting us now. We have taken power to the blood of Jesus. How many times you've said that loosely? Blood of Jesus. And walking away. The blood of the name of Jesus, the word of God, write this down. The word of God, put that on the board. The name of Jesus, the word of God, the blood of Jesus, the power of agreement, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, all those things. And I'm going to go back over them again. Those are your power. Those are your weapons.
Yeah.
Those are your weapons. So we mishandle them. So today I'm asking you, pleading with you actually, because you will need them. If you say, Mama, somebody's after me, and then you say, I'm only joking. And then when somebody's really after you,
won't believe it.
She's not going to believe you. So that's the same principle with these right here. What's going on with us today? Holy Spirit said, and you would notice I keep saying the Holy Spirit because I consulted with him about this class. And for those of you who are teachers in the house, keep a notepad and a pencil right by your bed. Because when you have an assignment from the Lord, he's going to be speaking the whole time. So I was up early this morning. He was writing some more stuff, giving me some more stuff. So I was just writing. And it doesn't matter that you're writing it crooked because you're sleepy. But the next morning, get up and redo it, put it in your computer. So here's what the Lord said, that we are not effective and spiritual warfare, because we're in a daze, a spiritual daze, a spiritual daze. With all the words that we know, with all the praying that we do, we are sleepwalking.
My Lord.
The body of Christ, my church, your church, the church down the street, the body of Christ, we are sleepwalking, going happily and merrily along our way. Totally unaware of what's going on in the world, making mockery of the very Bible that we read every day that talks about the devil. Making mockery, and here's the thing, something else that he said, we want to fight the government about not allowing us to put our Bibles on our desk, but we don't even use the Bibles that we have at home. Now, this is the Holy Spirit. This right here, that was on this paper right here, this did not come from me. This is what your Father, your Lord, and your Savior said concerning us. He said, we are making mockery of the very Bible that we read every day, making mockery of the very Bible that we want to fight the government to have on our desk. Actually, just to have it on our desk, not to read it, but just to have it on our desk. I just want to have my Bible out just in case. Well, but you haven't freely used the Bible that's in your house. The one that's in your car, and now the one that's on your phone. So the Lord said, but yet I told you to do that. So you make mockery of it. An enemy that is powerful and intelligent, which we're going to find in 1 Peter 5 and 8, an enemy who has given permission, he was given permission to be the God of this world. An enemy that has fiery darts to pierce you through and prick you all day long. You won't even read your Bible to find out what to do about that enemy. You're just in a daze. You're very nonchalant. And when he gave me that word, I made sure that I went to look it up. I got up and I said, let me just see exactly what that means. It means that you're just carefree, just going about your life just carefree, as if there is no enemy out there monitoring your house 24/7.
My.
You're nonchalant, you're too carefree. The Bible says he's a thief. Luke 10:10 says he's a thief, and he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Yeah. So why are you being so carefree?
My Lord.
Why are you being so nonchalant?
Yes, come on.
Why are you just going merrily on about your way as if you do not have an enemy who does not slumber nor sleep?
My.
Just like Jesus. Jesus does not slumber nor sleep. So his enemy is not going to slumber nor sleep. But you just laid back. I'm just carefree. We don't protect our lives. We don't protect our bodies from him. We overwork. We overdo. We stress ourselves out. We work so much that we don't even know the devil is right up. First of all that overworking, that's a trick of the enemy. I did a double all this week. So when did you pray? When did you have time to do the work of the ministry? When did you have time to get into the word? If you did a double all this week, so what part of your body? Because he attacks us by way of our body, the soul, and the spirit. So what part did he attack? When he had you doing a double, and now you're dazed, and you're confused, and you're stressed out, and you're fatigued, what part did he attack on you? Body, soul, or spirit? I can't even think because I'm so tired because I did a double all week. What area of your body, of your life, did he attack?
What area? Your mind.
Your mind. So now you're dazed. Mm-hmm. You're confused. And the Lord said that we're in a spiritual daze. We're in a state of oblivion. Dazed. Almost like we're drugged. The Lord said we're sleepwalking. We're sleepwalking with an enemy out there with fiery darts. How did we get there? How did we get there and we say we're in relationship with him? How did we get to that place to where we are very nonchalant? We are very carefree in our minds. We're like the walking dead. Even though we know Satan is after us, but we live in this drug state. I'm just drugged out. Even though I'm not even on drugs.
My Lord.
I'm sleepwalking through life. How do we do that? How do we, And I hear someone said to me not long ago, well, you know, my life is so good. You know, I'm not plagued with drugs. My family's good. You know, we don't have any of that in our home. Well, it's not in your home, you think. But it's out there in the workplace. Mm-hmm. It's in your neighborhood. It's in your apartment complex.
Yeah.
It's all around you. But you don't see that because you live in this haze. You live in this haze and in this unreality. So how did we get there? You know, we have Bibles in every room of our house. We got Bibles in the front seat and back seat of our cars. Bibles of all sorts. We got the Bible in our ear. And yet we still live a life in oblivion. How are we oblivious? Brother Master, how do we get to that place where we are totally oblivious to what's going on out there? Now remember, the one that's out there operating is the God, little g, the God of this world. When God cast him out of heaven, he gave him permission to be the prince, the God of this world. So he's out there with his demons and they are doing their work. But how is it we are laying that comfortable in oblivion? And he's after you. He's after you because you said that you were saved. He's after you because you said you were in relationship with him. He's after you because you claimed to be anointed. He's after you because you said, I'm an ordained pastor, I'm an ordained prophet, I'm an ordained evangelist and teacher. I'm the fivefold minister all in one. So how did you fall asleep knowing that he's there?
My Lord.
The manual told you he was out there. So how did we get there? Minister, how did we get there? And distractions were caused by doing what? So how did we get to that place? What happened that we got? What happened that we came out of here? And he talked to us about the cares of this world, lust of the flesh, pride of life. How did we leave that and get to that place where we became very nonchalant? Even though we know that the devil's right there in your house. We fell out of relationship. Mm-hmm. We fell out of relationship. The relationship is, we talk about spiritual warfare. If I'm spiritual, that means that I'm in relationship with him. And everything that I do in my life relates back to, because I am spiritual. I can't be spiritual and not have a relationship with him. And here's the other thing. I can't be spiritual and say that I have a relationship with him and not have a relationship with you. You see how he can come in? And let me say this again. If I'm spiritual, that means I am in relationship with him. And everything that I do in my spirituality relates back to him. It relates me to him. So not only do I relate to him because I'm spiritual, but I also relate to you. How I treat you, how I behave with you, my behavior with you is of such because I am spiritual. So if I say that I'm spiritual and I'm holy, 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 holy,
come on,
I don't even look at you, spiritual warfare will you not win. I give it to you one more time. My spirituality says I'm spiritual because I am in, only because I am in direct relationship with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what makes me spiritual. So therefore, everything that I do in my life relates back to him. How I treat you a certain way because I am spiritual. I behave with you a certain way because I am spiritual. But dare I say, I'm in a relationship with the Lord, but I'm not in relationship with you. Did you get that?
Mm-hmm.
Now, do we do that? Do we make that difference? Do we make that separation? You listen, I love the Lord. He's my all in all. But you don't talk to your sister who you've been married with for 10 years. Mm-hmm. I live, eat, breathe, drink Jesus. But I don't talk with my ex-husband because we don't have it like that. Then my question to you is, are you spiritual? Can you win spiritual warfare? I don't care how many times you say the blood of Jesus. See, let's not play with that anymore. Let's not just play with the blood of Jesus. Jesus. The fact that you can say it hard and loud, say you don't care nothing about that. He's going to know, are you going to use the word? I can use the word soft. I command you in the name of Jesus. All over you and shake you and throw you. I don't have to do all that.
That's right.
Somebody say there's nothing in that. Praise God. But before I go any further, tell me just real quickly about the relationship, what the relationship is supposed to look like between me and Jesus. Tell me real quick about what your relationship with you and Jesus is supposed to look like. What about your relationship with her? So in order to relate to folk, you got to know folk. In order to relate to your next door neighbor, you got to get to know your next door neighbor. You know, that time is over for you saying to your next door neighbor, I think I said it in my podcast. You go off to church, your next door neighbor's out there creating a ruckus. And you haul out, be blessed in Jesus' name. How many of you know you didn't do anything?
That's right.
You get no reward at the Bema Seat for that.
Right.
Why didn't you stop and put your big Bible down and go over to your next door neighbor? First of all, you may have to make a phone call and say, what's his name? We've been here 5 years together. I don't even know the man's name. We're talking about relationship, guys. And I hear the Lord saying, before we can fight the devil, you got to fight that devil on the inside of you.
That's right. That's right.
Fight that one that won't let you talk to nobody. Yeah. Fight that one that have you fighting fault with everybody. Simply because they don't do it the way I do it. They don't look the way I do it. They don't say that Jesus, that hallelujah is Lord. Hallelujah.
My Lord.
They don't say it that way. But let me tell you something. It doesn't matter how long you say your hallelujah or how loud you say it, it means absolutely nothing. There's no power in how long you say hallelujah. There's no power in how loud you say hallelujah. There's no power in how loud you say Jesus. There's nothing in this book here that will tell you, say it loud, say it long. Now, praise him, praise him. We are made up of three parts, body, soul. The soul of you consists of your emotions, your will, your ability to make decisions. So, why do you think he attacks your mind? Why do you think he attacks your soul? Remember, that's the seat of where your emotions are. And most of the time, when we're not in relationship with the Lord, in fact, at the bottom of this somewhere, just keep that word up there, relationship, because I'm gonna keep referring back to it. When we're not in relationship with the Lord, our mind is not gonna be right. So we do things out of our own will. And we do things fully and totally out of our emotions. So that's the area that he attacks. He attacks your mind, the seat of your emotions, because he knows that we are emotional people. People marry they divorce based on their emotions. They take trips based on their emotions. Well, I'm due a trip. I've worked hard, so I'm due a trip.
Yeah.
Well, if you were in relationship with the Lord and you relate everything back to him, you would talk to him first to see if you would do a trip.
That's right.
You see how Satan gets in that thing? Instead of you, he knew you were not going to talk to the Lord. He knew you were going to have you getting on that Titanic. Do you hear me? Our mouth says, you are due that trip. You have worked hard. You haven't been away in 3 years. So there you go running, making plans, without going back to the one that you're in relationship with. First of all, you don't even do that with your spouse. You go back to him and say, honey, I think I'm doing a trip. I'm going to take a trip. At least you run it past them. But you don't even run that past the Lord. You think the devil's not going to wear you out? He comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So how dare you think you can take a big trip without going back, talking to your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and say, Lord, is this of you? Is this for me? Is this where I'm supposed to be? Now, here's where we mess up. We go and we do things that God didn't even tell us to do. And we find ourselves in a bind, a life-changing bind. And then we call the prophet. we call the apostle, and we say, I need you to touch and agree with me because I'm in a mess over here. Now, hold on a second. The prophet who did not pray, the apostle who did not pray, got caught up in their emotion and said, oh, Lord, well, we're praying over here. Not knowing that you're about to fight with God. You're praying now against God because God did not even tell them to go there. He said, I'm going to let you go because he could have stopped you. He said, I'm going to let you go. I'm going to let you go. You want to do you? I'm going to let you do you. So now here you are praying against it. You got the apostle, the big old strong apostle, and the big prophet who hears from God. Touch and agree and fight against God. I bind you up in the name of Jesus, Lord. Some of you ain't binding nothing. That was their disobedience. So everything that you call spiritual warfare is not spiritual warfare. That was not spiritual warfare. That was you being rebellious and disobedient.
Say that again.
And God was trying to teach you a lesson. So be careful, people that love to touch and agree.
Yes.
How many touch and agree is in the house? Be serious about that. People will call you. They're in the Lord. They say, listen, trouble's going on in my house. I need you to touch and agree. Do you ask, so you want me to fight, but what's this fight about?
Right, you better ask.
I'm not going to fight without knowing what the fight is about. Remember, we did that years ago. Somebody that says, a fight over here. You said, a fight over there? And you roll your sleeves up, you went over there, you started fighting too. You didn't know who started the fight. You just heard there was a fight over there. Well, in a relationship with the Lord, in your new life, you can't do that.
That's right.
I need to know, first of all, who started the fight. I need to know who the enemy is. Mm-hmm. I need to know what the enemy is after. I need to know, is God in it? Is this a spiritual battle, or this a whooping your behind battle? See, there are some battles where God says, oh, don't you mess with that mother, don't you pray nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he will.
I've got this. Mm-hmm. You have prayed and you have talked until you are blue in the face. Leave it alone. Let that prodigal alone. I've got it. But here's the thing. The problem with that is that you won't leave it alone. You won't take your hand off a little cutie. You still want to be in that thing crying and whining and moaning and groaning all night long when God told you
let it go.
To let it go. And then when you start feeling that thing beating in your chest and those little angina pains coming in your chest, you wonder what's going on, God said, because you're disobedient and you're rebellious. I said to you, you know what? You know why the Lord allowed the prodigal son to go far, far away? See, the prodigal son thought he was being smart. He said, I want my stuff and I'm leaving you. The Lord said, okay. That was the plan. The plan was for the prodigal son to go far from the father because he knew that father thing, when he started whipping him and when he got hungry, how many parents said, well, you can't come back here, but I'm not going to see you hungry. I'm going to still bring you a few pieces of chicken. The Lord said, I don't want you to bring him anything. I don't even want you to let him smell it.
My Lord.
So I want you to leave it alone. So he let him go far away so he wouldn't see him. When he had wasted all of his money, the Lord just walked, okay, you wasted your money. I'm waiting on you. And when he got in that pig pen, that's when he began to think about the Lord.
Uh-huh.
And began to think about his father. But had he been close to his father, the father would have done what you do.
That's right.
Tipping over
come
there.
To the rescue.
Leaving a little plate. Leaving a little piece of money on the doorstep. Leave them a warm coat. I hear the Lord saying, don't take no more warm coats.
No more warm coats.
Do not take any more warm coats. Don't leave any more money on his doorstep. Don't do any of that. That's spiritual warfare. Let God fight that. But number one, that's his warfare. That's not your warfare. Mothers, that's not your warfare. Grandmothers, that's not your warfare. Because when I crowned him, when I brought him out of it, and he's given his testimony, it's not going to be for you don't get the crown. He gets the crown. So in spiritual warfare, we wear out and wear ourselves down because we're fighting a battle that's not even our battle. That battle has not been assigned to you. You want to know why you're broken down and torn down? That's not your burden. We carry burdens He said, the ones that I put on your back, my burdens, the burdens I put on you are not, it's only when you pack some more stuff on. When you take on your daughter's stuff, you take on your grandmother's, and then you take on mother's stuff who's still playing the lottery. When you take on all those things, now you've broken that and you're no earthly good to me. But yet you say, I want to fight, I want to do warfare, not broken down. But when you carry the burdens that God lay on you, because he said, I'm right there with you. Praise God. Just real quick, Apostle Stacy, just real quick. Just so far, what have I said just so far, right up to this time right here?
Evaluate our relationship, not in relationship with, we're not going to win. We need to put him first. Very, very important.
And let me ask a question here. Why is there such a wide gap between what we preach and teach and how we live our everyday lives? Why is there such a wide gap between what we're going to do here today and what we're going to do next week?
Also because we're hanging out in the soulless realm, mm-hmm. and we're being led by our feelings and our emotions, mm-hmm. and we're not going to the Word of God.
So do we have to have another conference next week?
Yes, we do.
Actually, I was not expecting you to say that. I was hoping you would say, well, no, because after the day, you got to say nail down. So, but listen, should that, I'm going to get to you, Minister Brady. Should there be such a wide gulf between what we preach? Let's kill spiritual warfare for a minute. Should there be such a wide gulf in what we preach and what we teach and how we love? Should it be that wide gulf there?
No.
And yet there is. We can preach it. Lord knows we can preach it. We can preach it, we can holler, we can jump, we can skip. We can make that thing sound so good, you like, wow, if I could just die, I'm going to die today so that I can go on to heaven because I feel really, really good today. So today is my going to heaven day. If I get outside, I realize you parked too close to my car. I forget it just that quick.
My Lord.
So, Minister Brady, so why is it that wide gulf that's there? Why is that? Well, we know what God wants, but I'm saying, why is it we can't do it? My sister in the back. Well, yes, my daughter. Thank you. I like that. I like that. Because my next question is, are we spiritual or are we fleshly? Mm-hmm. So I can choose to be spiritual or I can choose to be fleshly. But before you get angry after today, after this session right here, because I'm coming later on this evening, but between now and 3:00, before you get angry, I want you to ask yourself, am I in relationship with him for real? See, put the for real on it. Don't even do the what would Jesus do, because we already got rid of that bracelet. But ask yourself, am I spiritual for real? Am I in relationship with him for real? Before I cuss somebody out, before I get angry like that, that angry, mm-hmm. am I in relationship with him for real? You know, we say things like, stop judging me. Stop judging me. I'm only human. Well, who heard that? When you made that statement, stop judging me, I'm only human, Satan heard that. And he said to his demons, go get them. You can get that one. They're only human. But God has said, you're not human, you're spiritual.
You're spiritual, yes.
Fight that feeling of being fleshly. Fleshly is saying, I'm only human. You are a spiritual being. He said, they that worship me must worship me in
spirit and in truth.
Does it say flesh?
No.
In spirit. You are spirit being. You're spiritual. So today, starting even in this class, you got to examine who you are. Who am I?
Yes, yes.
Who am I in the Lord? Am I spiritual or am I fleshly? So when I behave all in my neck and all in my back and all in my eyes and when I'm behaving, I just can't help it. I just got to give you a piece of my mind, like you got enough mind to give somebody. But when you're doing all of that, you got to ask yourself, who am I? Who is this person? And listen, your last day. And God caught you all in your neck and all in your back and all in your legs. You are spirit beings. You are spirit. And listen, this is something I wrote last week that the Lord gave me. I'm convinced that we really don't know how to handle real spiritual warfare? How many of you convinced that you really don't know how to do it? How many of you convinced that most people don't really know how to do it? And yet, we beg God, God, use me. We get in our most holy position. Use me. Use me for your glory. Use me any way you want to use me. Devil come after you that same day when by the time you say amen. Mm-hmm. And you're crying. You're moaning. You're complaining. That's ministry. How many of you know that ministry equals warfare?
That's right.
You cannot have one. Put that on the board for me. Spiritual ministry equals spiritual warfare. You cannot have one without the other.
That's right.
But what you thought when you said your prayer, when you told the Lord to use you, you thought he was going to keep all the demons away from you. You foolishly said, I just want to be used. God, I just want you to use me, Jesus. Am I doing a good job with that? Use me, Jesus. But you really don't mean that. Because the minute he starts using you, who's going to come after you tooth and nail?
The enemy.
Satan. The enemy. The adversary. He don't like God and he don't like you. So he's not going to let you have any peace, he thinks. And his goal is not let you have any peace. But when you, the minute he comes after you, why do you cry? Why do you cry and beg God to make him leave you alone? First of all, God's mad with you. He said, why are you asking me to do that?
That's right.
I'm in heaven on my throne. I left behind for you power to tell him yourself. Mm-hmm. To back him up off of you yourself. I left you power and authority. Power is the ability. Authority is the right.
Yes, it is.
Hey, my help right there. You got the ability and you got the right to tell him to leave you alone. In Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. So when I get ministry, I shouldn't be crying and whining the minute the devil come after me. But that's what we do. So that's why I say I'm convinced we really don't know what spiritual warfare is. Because anytime you are doing something for the Lord, warfare comes with that.
That's right.
Your ability to handle warfare, first of all, your ability to handle ministry says, I'm also capable of handling warfare.
Yeah.
The same way I can preach and stomp on a Sunday, I can preach and stomp with him and cast him out. I'm also convinced of something else. We play with the devil too much.
Yes, we do.
Devil looking at you cross-eyed and cock-eyed looking crazy. And devil looking at you like, you think you can do something, you won't do crazy? How about crazy? You won't do crazy? And you just praying on him, just casting him out in the name of Jesus right there. Why we play with the devil? Why do we do that? Why do we play with him and then hug the devil? I said, if I go to another church where the devil looking cross-eyed, foaming at the mouth, and I see another prayer warrior hug, Apostle Walker, how crazy is that? Uber crazy. It's ridiculous. He's a devil. He's a demon. Cast him out. And stop playing and loving on him. You know, I remember, you know, and I think we kind of messed up here. Years ago, we were taught, I was taught, somebody hit you, hit them back. And then we got sophisticated. And we said, well, no, don't hit them back. Find out what's going on with them because they could have some issues. They may not be living as well as you're living. Just love them. Well, that's what we do with the devil. We don't hit them back.
He hit us.
Take
them out.
We won't hit them back. We talk to the devil. He hit our children. We won't hit them back. We just talk to the devil. The Bible says cast them out. Stop playing with him. Stop reasoning with the devil. He's not reasoning with you. Did he take all your stuff? And your stuff sitting out there in the rain? All those bills you got at home, did he whisper something in your ear? That's why you're in debt. That's why you're working a double every day. He's powerful and he's intelligent.
Yeah.
Yes, he is.
Those are two of his characteristics. Mm-hmm. He's powerful and he's intelligent. So stop playing around with him like he's your friend. If you're going to do ministry, if you want ministry, if you're begging God for some more, God, give me more. And I need all you begging God people. The ones that want all that God's got. I want the 9, the 5-fold, and some more folds. That comes with a price.
Yes, my Lord.
Warfare comes with that. You need to say, now, Lord, I just sat on the dotted line for ministry. Now, where's that other sheep that were at the side on the dotted line that says that warfare comes with it? They go hand in hand. You cannot do one without the other.
That's right. That's right.
So why did we think that we were going to be able to do ministry without doing warfare? Why were you unprepared like that? Somebody tell me. I just need to hear. Somebody tell me. Pastor Triple, why did we think that we were going to be able to do all of that? Turn over tables and preach until somebody had to carry you out. You don't preach so hard. And you almost turn color. You don't preach so hard. And think the devil was not going to go out there and mess with your car.
Did everybody hear that?
That's good. Yeah.
Good. You didn't realize, you didn't count the calls. How many preachers in the house? Did you count the calls? What is the cost to be a preacher? What is the cost? Tell me the warfare piece in it. Give me the warfare piece in it.
The warfare piece in it for me is because I love God more than them.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to learn how to embrace the suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a long
way. Put up there, embrace the suffering. So one of the costs is knowing how to embrace suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody else, give me. What does it cost? What does it cost to do ministry? You minister, what does it cost? Deny yourself. Deny yourself what? So how do you do that? How do you deny what your flesh is begging for? So how do we fix that? We know that the flesh is gonna do what the flesh does. So how do we fix it? And let me just ask you again. So how are you crucified?
Fasting and prayer.
No, flesh, no. You're not gonna make me eat those ribs today. Is that how you do it? Bind it up. You use your tools.
Use your tools.
Somebody has something over here.
The
attack on your mind. Because he has targets.
Yeah.
The target is that mind. That soulless realm. Your mind, your will, your emotion. That's where he goes for that.
Yeah.
Your body is the house. Your body houses that soul and that spirit. But the very thing that he attacks the most. Yes, he will attack your body, but the thing that he attacks the most is how you think.
Yeah.
What you desire.
Yeah.
He knows that you will do anything to get your desires met. The Bible says, if I delight myself in him, he will give me the desires of my heart, which is not the full truth. Delight yourself in, get that scripture. And let us break that down for a real quick minute. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you this. Let's look at that. And while somebody's looking that up for me, I want somebody to tell me what the word delight means. Delight in him means. But don't go there yet. Mm-hmm. Did you get that up here for me? You did. Mm-hmm. While you're looking up for that, I want to give you these power tools of agreement. So out of these, look at these tools here. And let's keep these weapons on the board here. Out of these weapons right here, in order to bind your flesh and deny yourself, which weapon would you use? Maybe more than one, but which one would you use? Can you bind? Don't you all give me a half of a sentence. You're just going to bind? You bind and what else? You ain't going to lose nothing? Now, why do you want to bind? Why do we want to bind something up and then lose something else? If I bind something, I'm tying it up.
That's right.
I'm rendering it ineffective.
Yes.
Right.
But I gotta replace something. I gotta replace it with something.
Yeah.
So, and remember the word bind. It's, I love it. I love to use this tool right here. I love to use binding and loosen because what binding says, I can disallow. The word means to disallow.
Yeah.
I can either disallow a thing or I can allow it. I can either permit it or I cannot permit it. I have the authority. I have the power. And the authority. These are the keys right here that God left.
Mm-hmm.
And on your paper, put down here on the side, my keys of power and authority. My keys of power and authority. These are my tools. So with this binding and loosing, I'm saying, I don't want that. I don't want what you offer me, Satan. And I don't have to have that. So I'm going to tie it up. I'm going to disallow it. I'm going to bind it up all together. It's not going to be a part of my life, but I will allow peace. I won't receive that confusion. I won't allow confusion, but I will allow peace. So what was in my life, I'm going to disallow it. I'm going to get rid of it. And then I'm going to bring something else to replace that. Do you understand that concept? So this right here is a powerful tool. So, Brother Massey, your flesh wanted to do something. And first of all, you tell yourself, I'm not fleshly. And I'm spiritual on the basis of the fact that I'm in relationship with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So this thing that's nagging at my mind, that's gnawing at my mind, I'm going to do this right here. But here's the thing, guys. But you got to do it. Mm-hmm. See, this is not new. None of what we're talking about today is new. Everybody in here probably have heard about binding and loosing. Cast it out in the name of Jesus. Renouncing. It's not new. It's not new stuff. Mm-hmm. So the thing is, why don't we just let him at will do whatever he wants to do? Why do we do that? I don't have my license, so I forgot I left my home. So I'm just going to drive all the way to Delaware. Without them. And God's got me covered. How many know that's a myth? Mm-hmm. We just think that the saints of God are covered in the blood for everything. You know what a myth is? A myth is a lie. Mm-hmm. We think we can do any illegal thing.
And God's gonna cover
us. Any unlawful thing. Mm-hmm. And God's gonna cover us in the blood. Shame on you. Shame on you for mishandling and abusing God in that way.
Yeah.
So now, let's talk about spiritual warfare. So you drive all the way to Delaware without your driver's license. You said, I'm going to the conference in Jesus' name because I know God's got something for me up there. Well, yes, God does have something for you up there. But God also got that police waiting on you, too, when you get up here. But here's the thing. Now, is that spiritual warfare, or was that your ignorance?
Ignorance.
And was that your disobedience? Because when you realize, you should have turned around and went back. So is God going to fight that for you? Is that a battle that he's supposed to fight for you?
No.
Absolutely not. There, you got to know what's spiritual warfare and what's your rebellion. What's your disobedience? You know, so can somebody here just tell me, why do we do that and think that's okay? Why do we do that and think that's cute to do that spiritual? That's not spiritual. Why do we do that, Pastor Tripple? And let me just add this to it. And we say, because I'm God's child and I'm covered in the blood.
And because we've misused them, they're not familiar to our, and then when we do adore, when you do that for Satan to just mess, okay, they've opened the door, so.
Well, what you've done, the word, the spiritual terminology for that is that you've given Satan legal right.
Yes.
Legal right, Heaven. You have given Satan legal right. He is within his rights.
Yes.
Because remember, he's an accuser of the brethren.
That's right.
So he is within his right. He's always been saying, you see her? She's out there driving illegally. So remember, he still has access to God. Satan still has access to God. So remember Job 1 and 6, where he said, God said, he was talking, they were talking face to face. So the Lord said, where have you been? Going up and down to and fro. Looking for Mr. Quentin. See if he got his license. He said, that's where I've been. So he says, well, don't mess with Mr. Quentin. He said, mess with Pastor Pam. So remember, in that situation, he had access to talk to God. So it was God that sicked him on Job.
All right.
Just go ahead and try. You look for somebody? Are you looking for somebody?
Yeah.
Can God say that about you? Ooh. Well, he already knew what was in Job.
Yeah.
But the question I want you to, what's my time? Because I want to give you a break. But the question that I want you to answer before I give you the break is, can he say that about you? You're looking for somebody. Because remember, his job is to go up and down, to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. He said, I'm like a roaring lion. So the Lord said, what you been doing, Satan? Going up and down all over Delaware. He said, well, have you tried disciples of faith? He said, no, I hadn't thought about disciples of faith. He said, well, go ahead and try them. Would you be ready? Or would you shame God? Would you shame God? Would you make mockery of God's word? He said, I got somebody who's been praying for 20 years. They pray for everybody. Just praying, praying, praying. That's what they do. They pray. They're prayer warriors. He says, try them. So if he does that in your life, will he find you dazed, nonchalant, walking dead? What will he find? God knew what was in Job. He knew that Job was not going to like it. He knew that Job was going to go through some stuff. He knew when it would be time. He knew when Job had almost ran out of patience. He had to build it back up. And then when Job turned on God and said, you let it happen to me. His big story, I won't talk to you, God. And then God had to put it back in his place and say, the moon is
where were you?
Where were you when I made it? And Job was like, the little boy. I didn't even know there was one. That's what I'm saying, Job. I'm in control. I have not lost control of the situation.
Yeah. Thank you, God. Yeah.
I just need you to stand. When you've done all that you can do to stay, I need you to keep standing.
Yeah.
He said, because first of all, I warned you ahead of time that he had fiery darts. He said, didn't I tell you to be sober, to be alert, to keep your head in the game? Stop sleeping. Stop walking around being nonchalant. He said, I told you that. Because he had fiery darts. I told you to keep that shield up so you would know how to avert those darts from you. So that you would know how to not get wounded in battle. Why are you taking a hit? Why are you taking a hit? I told you how to, he said, I told you that they were fiery darts. So when he threw one fiery dart after the next poisonous dart, after the next one, after you, you should have been like, you should have been almost doing a dance with that thing. If you were in a relationship, you would have. You would have known what was going on. Listen, when you were in a relationship with the Lord, you could almost smell that demon.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm hearing something here. The Lord said, if we stop hugging so much, start discerning more, you would know when he's upon you.
Yeah.
The Lord said, Satan does a godfather act with you all the time, just kissing you on both sides of your face. And you don't even know he's a devil.
My Lord.
When they start walking toward the Lord, who is that? What do I need to know? What do I need to know? Why am I here and sleeping with the enemy? Sleeping with the enemy. And you don't even know it's the enemy. What's my time? You all need a break? Take your little break. 12:12? You better have a minute break. Just real quick, just stretch your leg.